up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so now that week one in the NFL is in the books, who are on top and who are on the bottom of our top five, bottom five? We'll have that coming up in this hour. We'll also talk a little LSU football this hour, as well as the Tigers coming off that win in Austin, Texas, have put themselves in position to be a national championship contender. But what exactly is going on with LSU? We are going to talk to Wilson Alexander this hour from The Advocate out in Baton Rouge on this very exciting football team. Now, we'll get an insight onto them. Again, playing in a division, and not only a conference, but a division with one of the powerhouses in college football in Alabama. We've had good years with LSU, but this year, I just like their offense. But now that week one is in the books with the Monday night games, again, the Saints win on a Will Lutz field goal at the buzzer. Exciting finish. And the Raiders beat the Denver Broncos, a team that's in flux, trying to figure out an identity, trying to put all their pieces in place. But you could make the same argument on the Raiders as well. Like Antonio Brown being part of their team, even if he didn't participate in preseason and all of the, you know, training camp and whatnot, there was still an idea. The coaching staff still had an idea of how that offense was going to look with Antonio Brown. Just get all through this garbage and the offense is going to look like this. When we get him in uniform and get him on that football field, this is how we want to look. That's what they did their entire practice, right? All their preseason preparation, all of their training camp, everything that they did was with the idea that when we add this unbelievably dynamic player, we're going to look like this as a football team. And that wasn't going to be the case. But they came out last night and let all of that be thrown off to the side in beating the Denver Broncos. Like I said, with Denver, I know there's so many things that have just got to gel a little bit. I think it needs some time. I still think they're going to be okay. Not great, but not terrible, terrible. They just got a lot of parts that need to come together. And if the first game out of the gate, Flacco just could not get in the end zone until late. They settled for field goals early, and that was their doom. A road game, you sometimes just got to get touchdowns, and they couldn't do it. But the Saints, where are they in our top five, bottom five, after their thrilling win over the Texans in the first game of the Monday Night Football? Ron and I will have the tops of the National Football League coming up next. Stick around for that. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
In the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, top five, bottom five after week one of the National Football League. We go up from 5 to 1. And then coming up, we'll have the bottom five where we go from 28 up to 32. All right, so let's get started. Number five, I went back and forth with this team. I didn't want to put them there because I'm like, you know what? There are better teams that I remember from last year that were off to good starts. But I want to give credit for week one performances where it's due. So this is high for them. I may not have them on this board, but after what I saw Sunday, I really liked what I saw, and that's where I put the Dallas Cowboys.
All right.
Four touchdown passes from Dak Prescott. Ezekiel Elliott was limited, but he still scored a touchdown. Amari Cooper had been dealing with a heel injury all of camp. He looked good. Michael Gallup looked good. The defense kept the Giants down in check. So I'm giving them credit. Again, you might not hear their name in the top five all year. Maybe they have a stunning season and I put them there. But I liked what I saw Sunday, so I put the Dallas Cowboys.
That's not a bad first selection. I went a different route. I was really impressed by this team, and I didn't really know much what to think of them coming in. But they seem to be far and away, I think, the tops of their division right now, just based off of one game. And I have Minnesota Vikings at number five.
Minnesota Vikings did a really good job.
I was really impressed with the product that they put out there. And against a good Falcons team, that has all their players back, especially on defense. And they still were able to you know, the Vikings offense was able to do what they needed to do, and the Vikings defense looked great.
Yeah, this is a tough spot. Like, the five spot for me, because it was like I had Philadelphia, right? I was toying with the Vikings. Yep. I mean, there was a number of these teams that I had really good games where I was like, you know what, I want to recognize the performance. Because I feel like I was leaning a little more towards, look, these were the teams that were good last year, and they also had really good week one, so they naturally go to the top.
Yeah.
And a perfect example of this is number four, the Rams. Sean McVay even said, look, we struggled a little bit. Yeah, you know what? We had some play calls that we wish we could have back. They had a good game against the Carolina Panthers. But overall, even though Jared Goff wasn't eye-popping, and Todd Gurley didn't rush for 100 yards, I'm still putting the Rams up there at 1-0. They are my number four team.
You know what? I went number four Rams as well. All the same reasons you said. This team is going to be a mainstay in the NFC, I think, for a couple of years now, a couple of years to come. I think they got a great program. Everything seems to be clicking for them. Yeah, you know, every once in a while, I think they're going to have a game where not a struggle. You know, this was definitely the Rams shaking off the rust.
Yeah.
And against a decent team.
Yeah, against a really good team. A team that's got a healthy Cam Newton back.
Yeah.
So and still got Christian McCaffrey. And still good.
Cam Newton, I think, might be dealing with his own CTE issues with some of his fashion choices.
But sure.
That's not his performance on the field.
Exactly.
So, and I'm absolutely in love with Christian McCaffrey.
I do too. Love him, man.
My God, is he going to be a beast? Give him two more seasons and
it's amazing.
He's a game changer.
Number three on my list, they should be higher, but I like the two other teams better. I put the Kansas City Chiefs. Good win in Jacksonville. Looked like the machine is still rolling along for the Chiefs. No Tyreek Hill for the next couple of weeks while he deals with the shoulder injury, but Patrick Mahomes looked fantastic. Three touchdowns, no picks, 378. LeSean McCoy, the new addition, the former Bill, had 81 yards on the ground. Kansas City's Kansas City, and they're just going to keep doing it, and they showed it against the Jags. The Jags had to struggle without Nick Foles. The thought of Nick Foles, but Gardner Minshew played really well. But still, Patrick Mahomes is great.
Yeah, no, I think our top four might be the same.
Yeah, might be
the same. I had the Chiefs at number three as well. There wasn't anything I didn't like about them. I mean, if it wasn't for the other two teams, they probably would be number one.
Yep, exactly.
Easily.
And number two on my list, the New Orleans Saints, the team that played last night. What a great ending. And again, an ending we all thought was going to come anyway. Like, it wasn't going to be Drew Brees incomplete, Drew Brees throws it away, Drew Brees sacked, game over. We just knew it was going to be completion, and let's see what happens.
Now, I will say this. I have Saints at two as well. They did get a little bit of a gift on that final play.
I agree.
Why in the world you wouldn't just try to keep it close and... You know, why you're giving him all that space? I mean, I just imagine this. What if Ted Ginn Jr. was able to get just past that first line of linebackers?
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
And drop it in there. The field goal becomes a lot easier, but it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, and they rallied for 27 points in the second half to win. Off to a slow start. Defensively, didn't matter. That's what they do anyway. They rallied in the fourth, held on, and got the victory over the Texans. A game that was back and forth. It's thoroughly entertaining. And, of course, the number one team will be the New England Patriots, because they not only routed the Pittsburgh Steelers, they embarrassed them and made everybody dread the season to come outside of New England and outside Patriot fans, because when they get Antonio Brown, this unbelievably fantastic offense is going to look even better.
That's what's scary. I'm so bummed, really. I think that's what it is. At first, I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun to see. Now I'm like, you know, as I'm thinking it more and more, I'm like, I'm really going to be bummed this season. Because I don't see how you're going to stop this offense.
You won't.
I mean,
that's
the Steelers have a good defense. They really do, guys. And if you don't think so, just look at the records. Look who's on that team. They have a good defense, and they were embarrassed Sunday night.
Carved up every which way. And you know, Philip Dorsett's making catches. Julian Edelman's making catches. Josh Gordon had a couple of catches. Rex Burkhead had a couple of catches. And now you're going to throw Antonio Brown in here? I mean,
it's James
a deep threat.
White coming out of the backfield.
I mean,
it's ridiculous.
On. I mean, it's unreal.
Absolutely
it's
ridiculous.
Unreal how loaded they are. And it's just another toy for Josh McDaniels, who's one of the brilliant offensive minds in the game already.
Yep. I guess the only thing we can hope for is, I mean, Antonio Brown has shown some love, and then there's that one game where they say, you know, where it's the Patriot thing to do. So, you know, we're not gonna even throw it to you, Antonio.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, the diva and him comes out. But we already know this about the Patriots. As soon as that happens, he's gone.
That's very true. That's why I think it's going to work.
They're not going to Gruden. I'm trying to use his name as a verb here. They're not going to Gruden the whole thing.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, oh, no, no. They're going to stroke his ego, stroke his back, you know, give him flowers and gifts and just let him know, like, no, 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 we need you. The league needs you. The team needs you. We all need you. We love you. No, Patriots can be like, bye.
That's what Randy Moss always said. He was like, listen, it was all football business, and I needed in that my life to have it all football business, and they made me feel like I was extremely important to that organization. And they'll do that with Antonio Brown. And again, mm-hmm. I also think there is a level of the feeling of get, like, I can push these people, and I can't push those people, but I can push these people and taking. And I think Antonio Brown, when he gets there, is going to realize, boy, my God, there really is no pushing anybody around, and yeah. I'm not even going to try. It's not even worth it because I'll be out of the league. Because if I can't make it work here, I'm not going to make it work anywhere. Like, seriously, I won't. You know, I'll be outcast. But if I win here and win a championship, in the end, that's what I want. But that's,
in a way, Randy Moss going to the Patriots had us look at him in a new light.
Sure. Now he's on television. He's a commentator.
Yeah, he's likable. We love,
you
know,
yeah.
We enjoy him. It was like, you know, Hall of Famer, of course.
Yep.
You know, but there was a moment there, a period of time where it was like, Randy Moss just can't get out of his own way.
Yeah. And I remember watching his 30 for 30 where he talked about growing up in Rand, West Virginia, right? I mean, he just, I think it was called Rand University. That was the name of the 30 for 30. And I remember getting like a really good sense of Randy Moss and like really like, because I missed Randy Moss when he was in Oakland and wasn't doing really much anything.
Yeah, I don't remember him there either.
Yeah, and it was just kind of disappeared.
Mainly as a Viking.
Right, exactly. All right, so that's top five. We'll get to bottom five coming up. So who are the worst after week one? In the National Football League, it's next as Ron and I continue. Again, on Twitter, if you want to hit us up there, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing from Let's Talk Wheels with an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. You know, I borrowed my wife's truck the other night. Naturally, it was raining. I quickly noticed that her wiper blades were pretty useless. Now, wiper blades are one of those things that you forget about until you need them. Now, if you haven't replaced your wiper blades in the last year, make a note to pick up a set at a discount store next time you go. Until then, go out to your car with a paper towel and some alcohol or glass cleaner, raise the wiper, wet the paper towel with a cleaner, and run it along the edge of the wiper. This will remove the road grime that has gathered there, and it's going to be really nasty. This should help the wipers work better until you can replace them. And I do this every month or two. Now, while you're at the store, get some of the good washer fluid, which helps the wipers cut the grease. You're going to thank yourself the next rainy night. Hope this helps. This is Mike Herz from Let's Talk Wheels, brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more of my tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
At Jeep Adventure Days, you'll be ready to take on any forecast head on. And while some hide from the weather, you'll play surrounded by luxury in the Jeep Grand Cherokee. While others run away from the elements, you'll run toward them in the remarkably efficient Jeep Cherokee. While others see the weather as a foe, you'll see it as a friend in Jeep Compass, with over 70 standard and available safety and security features. And while others seek shelter, you'll find yourself right where you want to be, with nothing, not even a roof, standing between you and the weather, with the open-air freedom of Jeep Wrangler or Jeep Gladiator. Hurry in to Jeep Adventure Days for great deals on the most legendary SUV lineup. Jeep. When it rains, we shine. Jeep is a registered trademark.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, prepare for road trips, and before your travels begin, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. All right, now it's time for the bottom five, the worst of week one in the National Football League. And I'm going to start at number 28 with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, why the Jacksonville Jaguars? Because they had Nick Foles, and they were all excited about Nick Foles, and they didn't use Nick Foles in the preseason, and then they lost Nick Foles until at least week 11 with a broken clavicle.
Just dumb luck.
Dumb luck, but still. I put Jacksonville. Gardner Minshew may be great, but I don't know yet, and I'm just putting him there just to laugh at them for losing their quarterback in week one.
Yep. For me, number is this. What, we're doing the math. 28, right?
Yeah. 28 up to 32.
28. Yeah. For 28 for me, this probably will be the one and only time they are in the bottom five. I have a good feeling about it, so this might be the last time we could say goodbye to this team. But I have the Jets. And I have the Jets there solely because they lost to the Bills.
Okay, yeah. They lost to the Bills with a lead.
Yeah.
17 points in the fourth quarter.
I think this team, by no means are they going to be top 20. But I think they're definitely, closer to 20 than they are 28. But I just, if you lose to the Bills, you can't lose to the Bills. I'm sorry.
No, you can't.
Even though I don't have the Bills in my bottom five because they beat the Jets.
That's right. 29. Please forgive me. The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, my God.
You're terrible. I've rooted for this team my entire life. I waited all year, 9 months for this game. 9 months after not making the playoffs last year, told me all season, addition by subtraction, it's going to be fine. As a matter of fact, Antonio Brown's as replaceable as the next guy on this roster of people we don't pay. My God, we got rid of Mike Wallace. My God, we got rid of, right? Ah, that was humiliating. I mean, literally, there's a center who doesn't hike the ball and everybody starts the play except him. I've never seen that in the history of my life. Ever. This was horrible. It was badly game planned. There was no plan at all. Look, the Patriots are going to beat you in Foxborough on a day that they're going to recognize the Super Bowl championship. It's just a given. I don't care about them losing. I care about them not showing up and not being prepared to at least put up a fight. They were a dead football team from the very minute this game started. I hope I don't put you in the bottom five very much longer, but I got to punish you. That was embarrassing. So they're 28.
That's fantastic. I can't believe you went there. I mean, even if the Chargers lost big, I still don't think I could do that to them.
I got it off my chest.
Yeah, no, that was good. You were saving that up.
I was.
You were saving that
I
up.
I was. I was building it up.
Number 29 for me, I put the Cardinals. I was not impressed with anything they saw except for a late fourth quarter comeback.
And that's all you got.
There are glimpses of what may happen, what could be. But I also have to realize that it was against the Lions.
And it was not good for three quarters of football.
No.
I mean,
Kyler Murray, I can't remember if it was an announcer that said it or if I read it on Twitter, but I was thinking the same thing when I saw it was, is he thinking about baseball right now?
Yeah, right?
There was a moment there, I was like, you know what? Your completion percentage is around 300. That's good for hitting.
He heated up, and I give him all the credit in the world, but you're right. It was a bad start for that football team. It looked like it's going to be a long season. But you know what? Good for him. He heated up. But I agree with you. I think either one of these teams could be in the bottom five, especially the Lions for giving up those points in the fourth quarter to a team they had beaten all game. Arizona looked really, really bad early on. So. Number 30 on my list, I put the Washington Redskins. They actually led this game against the Eagles and then coughed it up. Oh, no problem losing the Eagles, but they are also kind of a mess. Adrian Peterson did not play, and people want to know why. So Jay Gruden is already starting to lose a little bit of the players in the locker room. They were off to a nice start at 20-7 and then completely gagged on the way through to a 32-27 loss, picking up their last touchdown with 6 seconds remaining just to make it a little bit more respectable than it actually was. They really, really did not play well. So I put them at number 30.
Man, this is another unconventional pick.
Yeah, I know.
You're coming with the heat.
Trying to go a little bold.
You're coming with the heat. I put the Lions here at number 30. Simply because that they coughed up a lead to the Cardinals.
Yeah, they coughed up a big lead to the Cardinals. If I'm going to fault the Redskins for coughing up a lead, I should fault the Lions for coughing up a lead.
Honestly, but I mean, throughout, even though the Lions looked like they were rolling, they never looked impressive.
That's true. That is true.
And simply, you know, just one play that really sticks out of my mind. I'm sorry, forgive me if I don't know the offensive coordinator's mind, because I didn't understand why he called a timeout. And I could see trouble brewing between him and Matt Stafford.
Uh-oh.
There was a play, like, I can't remember, it was like third and long or something like that. Matt Stafford completes it, but the offensive coordinator called a timeout right beforehand.
Oh, those stink.
And Matt Stafford, you know, and then on the very ensuing play, obviously, they did not complete the third and long. And you can see Matt Stafford mouthing, trust me. Just trust me.
Please. Let me do my job.
That's never a good look when your OC and your quarterback are not on the same page.
Yeah, exactly. Number 31 on my list, I put the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Of course. I did too.
Yeah. I mean, just, whew. Man, it's one thing to throw one interception and return for a touchdown, but two? I mean, come on, Jameis. And this is your year. You're supposed to show us we were all wrong to worry about you as the starting quarterback. There is a divided fan base of whether or not this guy is the leader that you love him off the field, but on the field, he's got to produce some wins. He's got to produce some results. This Tampa Bay team is not very good at all. I knew they weren't going to be great, so I don't want to be all like disappointed like I was with the Steelers. But at the same point, I think the Buccaneers have a lot of work to do, and their quarterback is one spot they need some work. But Bruce Arians believes in him. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I have the Buccaneers here as well. What Jameis has been in the league now 5 years? This is his fifth season,
going
right?
Fifth year, yeah.
This is when, he should be playing like a number one overall pick.
He's like Mariota. Where do they go from here, right?
Right, I'm assuming he should be playing. I mean, the greatest thing going for Jameis Winston is that he will never be the biggest bust in NFL history. Because at least he's lasted this long. He'll always have Jamarcus Russell being better than him.
Yeah,
but
we are
flirting with that tagline of being a bust.
Yeah, I mean, it is the fifth year. It's make or break. You're under a little bit more pressure. You got to respond to that, unfortunately. You want to make it in this league. This is, again, Mariota's dealing with that here in Tennessee, and obviously he's on the good side of that now after three touchdowns against the Browns. But there was a conversation here about that. I'm sure there was plenty of conversation about it in Tampa Bay. Arians is a quarterback whisperer. He's got to get with this guy. If this is where they're going to go, then unfortunately he's got to step up and step up quick. And I don't know if he's capable yet.
And the thing is, I mean, and I guarantee Arians has had a bunch of conversations. It wasn't like Arians was hired during the summertime.
Right.
I mean, he was pretty much hired almost right after Black Monday.
And he knew the second he took the job what his number one priority was.
Yeah.
Get Winston to play the kind of football you know he can play or think you know he can play and go from there. And with Byron Leftwich as the offensive coordinator, figure out how to get Jameis Winston some success. And I know it's 1 week, but that was a bad, bad, bad season opener.
Yeah. I mean, the greatest thing about this season for the Buccaneers is that it does will show you what they're what they're capable of doing. I mean, it will show you whether or not you need to move on from Winston.
Yep. All right. And the number one bad team, the 32nd team, Miami.
Yeah.
Jeez, they might be there the whole year.
Oh, they're definitely. You can't have 50 players asking for a trade and not be in the bottom five.
That's right. Exactly.
I'm sorry.
50 players want out of the Dolphins organization.
There's only three players who want to be on the team.
God, it's amazing. So, I'm sure. No wonder Jadeveon Clowney was like, no, you ain't going to ship me there. Uh-uh. No way.
Yeah, we weren't thinking that way. We were thinking, why wouldn't he want to go to Miami? Yeah. South Beach?
We got you a deal to send you to Miami. Yeah, no, you don't have a deal to send me to Miami. I ain't going to Miami.
Yeah, the Bad Boys franchise makes that place look sexy.
That's right. You'll have a good time. No, I will not have a good time. Team stinks. And so
you know what? I mean, we got to give it up to the Dolphins just a little bit. They did say that they were going to ride if Laremy Tunsil was traded.
That's true. They did.
They are.
That's a good point.
They saw the writing on the wall, although Laremy Tunsil definitely needs some work.
Man. Listen, man, if you can get a head coaching job in the NFL, you take it. Doesn't matter where you go. There's only 32 of them. But, boy, Brian Flores, I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Because he's going to deal with this all season long.
I hope there's a stipulation in his contract that allows him more than just 1 year.
Yep. That's right. That's right. All right. Coming up, LSU. What an impressive win in Austin over Texas. National championship contenders on everybody's radar. Wilson Alexander from The Advocate is going to join us next from Baton Rouge to talk about the Tigers. Joe Burrow, Ed Orgeron, and the fun down in Baton Rouge next.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
And thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. Hey, you can hit us up on Twitter and we'd love to hear from you at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. You got to spell it with two N's. It's Ron with two N's. Hit us up. Your thoughts on some of the issues that we've been hitting up. So now, are you ready for football? As we've gotten in week one in the NFL and week two in college football, get into the game with our exclusive sports betting partners, betonline.net. Sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus reward on your first deposit and start betting on your favorite pro or college teams. You bet every spread, every total, every winner, every loser. You can bet on which starting quarterback will be benched first, bet on who's going to win the Heisman Trophy. So much to choose from at betonline.net. Get the fastest odds, updates, and payouts. Again, with our new sportsbook partners, betonline.net. Head over to betonline.net. Use your mobile device to join today and use promo code SBNation55. That's SBNation55. And you'll get your 50% welcome bonus. Get into all of the action today with betonline.net, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so we were talking yesterday about the LSU Tigers and their win in Texas and a feeling like something even better brewing for the LSU football team this season, especially with Joe Burrow. Let's get an inside look at the Tigers program. Wilson Alexander joins us on a Progressive Insurance Hotline. Call Progressive today and find out how you can save on your home, car. Get a bundle at Progressive.com today. Wilson Alexander from The Advocate joining us to talk some LSU football. How are you, Wilson?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Good. Is there something about this football team, especially offensively, that does feel different? I know 2 weeks in does feel a lot different than LSU teams in the past.
Oh, 100%. It's funny because coming into the year, LSU was making all these promises that the offense is going to be different, but fans weren't quite believing them fully because they've heard this kind of thing before, especially with a little less miles back in like 2016. And they've showed that, you know, they delivered on those promises in week one and week two. This offense is completely different from what they're used to down here. They're spreading the ball out, going five wide sometimes. I don't think they've gone under center this year. If they have, I don't even remember it because it might not have happened only, but maybe once. And they're spreading the ball out and throwing it around quite a lot, which is a big departure for what LSU traditionally has done.
What was the kick that changed the offense from Joe Burrow year one to Joe Burrow year two here?
Well, Joe's really comfortable in this offense. Because he ran this kind of scheme in high school and then another 3 years at Ohio State. And then when he got to LSU last year, it was actually a little bit different from what he was used to running. So when they went back to this kind of spread RPO scheme, this is what he is known for most of his football life. And it's what he is comfortable running. And that's the biggest thing is comfortable.
Does this offensive scheme, when you look at it, and I know there's a little bit of projection, when you look at that and you look at some of the defenses in the SEC, do you see it being successful or does it have to still be modified when you go after some of the defenses that are not only in the division but the conference as well?
I'm curious to see how it steps up against Auburn and that defensive front that they have. That's one of the best in the country. Obviously, Alabama, that's going to, LSU fans are already wondering, okay, well, can this work against Alabama? But I think for the majority of the conference, it's going to work. I mean, Texas has a solid defense, and they were able to, score 45 points, put up 500 yards of total offense against the Longhorns. So it should work against most of the SEC, but there's a couple of games where you wonder if they're going to need to throw in a couple of wrinkles, if the running game is, in particular, is going to come through against a team like Alabama, like Auburn, and some of those, maybe Texas A&M too.
What was your takeaway from that game against Texas? I mean, look, it's being touted on the surface as it's Big 12 SEC, but in reality, it's LSU and Texas, and these are two teams that have played second fiddle to some of the top programs in the country. What was the big takeaway from you as to where LSU is right now after going to Austin?
If Texas is a good team down by the end of the year, which I think they are, then for me, it's that LSU is a contender for the national championship, that they should be at least part of that conversation, and that Joe Burrow, I don't know if I would go so far as to make him a Heisman candidate yet, but that if he continues having this kind of year, he could also be in that kind of conversation, because the numbers that he's put up through 2 weeks are nothing we've ever seen from an LSU quarterback. And if they're able to compete for one, then he'll be up in that conversation toward the end of the year too. And I think that they deserve to be in that, because they could very well be 8-0 going to that Alabama game. And if they are able to actually beat Alabama for the first time since 2011 and take control of the SEC West, then they'll be right in the thick of it for the college football playoffs.
We're talking LSU football with Wilson Alexander on our Progressive Insurance Hotline. Again, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home or car insurance. That is Progressive at Progressive.com today. All right, Wilson, Ed Orgeron, I love him. I love his character, and I love who he is as a football coach. What's the difference between how Ed Orgeron runs this team and how Les Miles ran the team?
Well, it's tough for me to fully answer that question. I didn't cover LSU when Les Miles was here, but the way that Ed Orgeron runs his team, players have called him a player's coach. He has that sort of open door policy. He listens to them. He likes to talk to them. He relates to them. And obviously just his whole thing is something that people, he's got a lot of charisma. And players like to be around him. He's loud, and he gets, in the dirt with them a little bit, getting right down with the defensive line. And yelling and screaming, and that Cajun accent gets a little bit hard to hear when he's screaming. But he's a coach that they can really relate to, and they respect him, and they enjoy playing for him.
As far defensively, this is one of the best secondaries in college football in terms of overall defensively. How good are the Tigers?
That's yet to be seen. It's interesting that because LSU is on defense is long then. A team that lives and dies a little bit by its defense, but the defense got absolutely gassed on against Texas, started to feel a lot of fatigue in the second half. They had to defend about 90 plays, and they're not used to that. Part of that is that they need to tackle better. They didn't tackle very well against Texas, but they also that the offense on the flip side is scoring at such a quick rate, about 2 minutes per scoring drive, that LSU's defense is on the field again really fast, and they're not used to that as much. So they need to get in better shape. Safety Jacoby Stevens said that himself, that we've got to get in better shape, and we need to tackle better in order for our defense to be more successful. They're not used to giving up 38 points a game.
I am curious from a standpoint of college coaches and college programs, because some coaches, they embrace that big game on the schedule, right? Some coaches put a countdown to a rivalry game. Some coaches say it's one game at a time. Players are focused on one game at a time, and I'm sure that's the way LSU at least is. But is there any feeling about Alabama in the organization or on the team about where it's been so one-sided since the national championship game? Is there a Alabama presence as they go through their normal routine?
The Alabama presence is something that I don't think is ever just gone at LSU. It's something that just sits there and simmers underneath the surface all year long. But at the same time, I think that this LSU team is pretty good at putting those kinds of things to the side a little bit and focusing on the task at hand. It's Ed Orgeron constantly says, block out the noise. That's like his mantra. And how good they actually are at completely doing that, I'm not sure, but they do seem, well equipped to just focus on, each game individually. They certainly didn't look ahead to Texas when they played Georgia Southern, and I don't think they have yet, started looking at Alabama because it's just so far away on the schedule and so much can change between now and then.
Do you get the feeling that the players are feeling that there's something new within this program, at least offensively, that something that there has the identity is turning a corner?
Yes, no doubt. They've talked about that throughout preseason camp, and now everybody else is believing them. They've said this for a couple months now, that this offense is going to be different. This team is going to look different. It's going to be more explosive, more efficient, especially on the offensive side of the ball. and they've shown that through two games, and now it's more so, hey, we told y'all that this was coming, and now you believe us.
Give us a little background on Joe Burrow. Where did he come from, and how is he acclimated to SEC life?
So he's from Athens, Ohio, or the Plains, Ohio. Went to Athens High School. Not really highly recruited quarterback, but Tom Herman believed in him and got him to Ohio State. Had to convince Urban Meyer to give him a scholarship. He spent 3 years as a backup at Ohio State. Transferred after he graduated early and came down to LSU. And he and Orgeron both said they sort of saved each other because Orgeron needed a quarterback and Joe needed a coach who was going to trust him and believe in him and play him. And that partnership has worked out extremely well. Joe's gotten more comfortable in the offense. His offense is tailored really for what he can do. And because he's a graduate transfer, he doesn't spend a lot of time on campus at LSU. He likes to go to the casino a little bit. He sort of has his little routine in his off-campus apartment. And it's interesting, people on campus don't see him a whole lot. But his primary thing here is playing football. But he does, he takes some classes. But he just sort of really – he seems to be enjoying this moment quite a lot.
I can imagine. Especially with 9 touchdowns and everybody starting to buzz about your Heisman Trophy candidacy after 2 weeks into the season. Ed Orgeron talked about the Texas locker rooms being hot. Let's have a little fun with this. Was it true? Did you get the feeling afterwards that they were complaining about no AC?
Well, they weren't complaining about no AC right after the game. The thing that I keep coming back to with all this whole thing is that we knew this going into the game.
Yeah.
Orgeron talked about this on Thursday, how he had talked to Louisiana Tech and how there wasn't any air conditioning in there. This is something that I had heard about Texas from somebody else on the beat who went to Texas, that this was the case in that locker room. And so LSU wasn't that concerned about it going in. They're like, yeah, we're going to need to bring some air blowers and we'll figure it out. It'll be fine. And then even Orgeron said yesterday, how there was no AC, but he didn't think that had a huge effect on the game. So everyone's going crazy. And I'm like, well, we kind of knew this going in. They knew this was going to be a problem for them, but they adjusted to it. So I can't say from experience. I was never in the visitor's locker room. They don't open that up to us, but that's what we got so far.
One final thing, and we're talking to Wilson Alexander of The Advocate in Baton Rouge on LSU, again on our Progressive Insurance Hotline. The schedule, does it shape up nice for LSU? I mean, obviously, look, I mean, I'm not trying to get ahead and make this an Alabama-dominant team. They still have to play Auburn, and Florida could be a problem. But does the schedule set up, as you mentioned, 8-0 possibly into that Crimson Tide game?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, they've got a couple of soft weeks here with they go Northwestern State, which is the worst team on their schedule, and then Vanderbilt bye week, and then Utah State. So they can easily get into October without a loss, and then you start getting into the thick of the SEC schedule. And obviously, they could get tripped up, but if this LSU team is playing this way on offense and it can get its defensive, few defensive issues figured out, then it could definitely be undefeated heading into that Alabama game. I think it shapes up real well for them.
Yeah, they're two ranked opponents, right? Florida and Auburn, they have them at home.
Yeah, that's a good spot to be in.
Absolutely. Wilson, great stuff. Really appreciate it. Hope to get you on as LSU continues on this journey. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. You have a great day.
You too. Wilson Alexander of The Advocate joining us on our Progressive Insurance Hotline to talk some LSU football. I don't remember, Ron, did we have Wilson on when LSU was going through that massive basketball scandal?
No.
Was it not him?
Was not him.
I was getting, okay, I thought it was, but remember LSU just got off of, remember the basketball scandal during the tournament?
No, I, like many other LSU fans, have been brainwashed not to remember
totally
that.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, it's all about AC now, Tony.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
AC, the man is trying to get us, they're trying to bring us down with not providing us AC in hot, humid often.
I know what that is like. It's good to have air conditioning. Make sure you have air conditioning. By the way, we Joe Burrow likes to go to the casinos.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
He's a everyman, man.
How old is he, 25?
I'm thinking, is he hanging out with the blue hairs?
First of all, that's funny because... First of all, okay, hold on. Really quick. We'll come back and explore that for a second. All right, because I have a question about that coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Because he's a graduate transfer, he doesn't spend a lot of time on campus at LSU. He likes to go to the casino a little bit. He sort of has his little routine in his off-campus apartment, and it's interesting, people on campus don't see him a whole lot.
All right, that was Wilson Alexander talking about Joe Burrow. This hour of SB Nation Radio presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so he's obviously over 21 to go to the casino, right? But maybe his family has money. I don't know, but like, going to the casino ain't cheap.
No,
it's not.
Unless you're really good at it,
like you're, like, yeah.
Unless you,
like,
take, you're able to take that stipend.
Maybe
of
he's
five
a poker
bucks.
Player. Yeah, right. I mean, my goodness. Well, I mean, good if you could do it, man. That's great. God.
Does
Let me tell you what.
Is he getting a card, a credit card from somewhere?
Does he? And by the way, is he like a frequent player where they welcome him in and he's racking up casino points?
Oh.
Like free buffets and stuff for his playing? God, if there was a casino near my school, I would have lost my mind.
I would have lost my shirt. You kidding me?
Are you kidding me? I would have... I'd be like, Dad, I need more money. What for? I just don't have any. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I would need to get drafted. Hopefully he does.
Is he recognized as the casino? Does you know?
He has to be, right?
Do they comp him when he's there? Like, I can't comp him. He's an NCAA student athlete. Mr. Burrow, your playing has rewarded you with a buffet, but I can't give you said buffet. That would be an entitlement. Or no, what do you call him? When you give him the, gifts?
Entitlement.
I can't give this to you. I don't want to get LSU in any trouble.
He can't get comped at the casino.
He can't. That's the whole purpose of going to the casino.
Yeah.
Just like Jon Favreau said in Swingers, right? We got to look like we have money, and then they give us the stuff for free.
Right.
Right.
Not Joe Burrow.
Not Joe Burrow. That's awesome. Good for him. Doesn't need to go to class very often and likes to go to the casino and is a Heisman Trophy candidate. Awesome.